Let me see you pop them things, shake them doodle prance.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here. I want you to check out the Kings Court. Now, this is on 903 Hutchins. It's right on the south side of BBVA Compass Stadium. It's in Edo. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. Kings Court is a really cool bar. It's got 13 TVs. They show all the Premier League matches, MLS, NFL Sunday Ticket, 24 taps down there. They got a full bar and an extensive selection of spirits. Great cuisine, too. This is the most pub-like soccer field you have around BBVA Compass Stadium. So support them. They're great people. My good friend Jay down there, they got a rooftop patio, and it is a real soccer feel. Again, it's Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. It's the home of the Manchester United supporters group and the Chelsea supporters group. So Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. All right, with that, a number of you have asked me in the past week, hey, what's going on with Jeff Cameron? You know, can you get Jeff Cameron on the show? We got Jeff Cameron on the show. He joins us now from across the pond in England. Jeff, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
Well, I think the first thing I have to get out there right away, because this is the question I get from everybody. Everybody's concerned about you injury-wise. What's going on with you health-wise for both Stoke and the national team? They're wondering, where's Jeff Cameron?
Yeah, I've been asking myself the same thing. It's been 10 weeks now, and it's been a frustrating 10 weeks. Originally, you know, it was, the guy, it's just the last play against Hull, chasing the ball down the line, and the guy kind of followed me, pushed me, and kind of landed on my leg and kind of strained my MCL a bit. But it seems to be a little bit more than just the MCL, and in this certain area, it's just been tough to heal. So it's a slower healing process than normal. It's just been really, really frustrating. I'm actually heading back to the States this weekend to get a second opinion and to see what else we can do. But I don't think it requires surgery, and I'm pretty positive and hopeful that I should be back in within the next month or so. But obviously, I just want to take my time and make sure that I come back and I'm fully healed and I'm fully recovered, because it's, you know, when it comes down to the knee and other things, that you don't want to rush it and come back too early. So it's been a slow process, been a frustrating process, because throughout my career I haven't really been injured, knock on wood. And these are ups and downs of your career. And you know, for me, I was on fire before it all happened, and then, you know, this kind of slows me down a little bit. But I try to look at the positives, and maybe you know, getting a rest, letting my body shut down for a little while and recover, and you know, hopefully I'll be back soon.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering about that, because with you, I know you were put on this earth to play the game, and I know how much playing the game means to you. I can't always say that about every professional athlete, but I can say that 100% from you. So I got to think this is mentally a very different time for you, the extension of the time period of this injury.
Yeah. I think I've had friends and family come out and visit. You know, my dad knew I was frustrated and almost kind of a depressed in a way, where, you know, because, you know, the time of Christmas, and these are the best, I mean, these are the biggest games. You're playing Boxing Day and all that. And this is what I love playing in this time of year. And all these games come up, and, you know, I've missed 11 games and counting so far, 12 tomorrow. So it's definitely frustrating, for sure. You know, you try to not dwell on that and then the negative aspects of it. You try to stay positive and remain in a good sense of mind frame. But it gets tough, you know. But, you know, friends and family coming over and helps take your mind off of it. And, you know, you get to enjoy being with one another. So that helps. But, you know, like in anything, I don't think you can go throughout your career without dealing with some type of injury or kind of low setback. So it's part of the course.
Knowing this from experience, and of course not at the level of the Premier League, but Boy, you do feel detached when you're injured, don't you? Whether it's a win or a loss, it's like you just feel like you're on the periphery, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough going into training every single day, and you're kind of on a different time frame. You know, I'm in early. I'm up at 7 a.m. and I get in there early and do my rehab and get my treatment in, and then the other guys come in, and while I'm doing stuff in the gym or whatever, these guys are getting checked out and they're getting ready to go on the pitch. And then, you know, it's, you know, you're still with your teammates, and, you know, guys come in and ask you how you're feeling, how you're doing and all that, but you're not there. You're not really part of it because you're on a different time scale. You know, you're on a different time schedule. So it gets tough because you're not on the pitch, you're not playing, and, you know, you come off the pitch and you hear guys, oh, this guy got done today, or, you know, you see the meg this guy did, or, you know, the laughters and the laughing and the jokes that you get on, you know, every single day on the pitch, you're missing that. But you try to jump in as often as you can, especially in the gym and in that kind of sense. But for the most part, you know, the club, the guys are great, but it's still, you still feel like you're kind of outside.
How about your manager, Mark Hughes? I mean, is he the type of manager that the injured guys are sort of left alone with the staff that's in charge of helping you get back on the playing field, or does he?
Yeah,
does he talk to you much?
I talk to him, you know, pretty much every other day or every day. You know, when there's time and he's, you know, busy with, you know, I see him in the cafeteria or in a, you know, with either breakfast or after training. So, and he's always asking how I'm feeling, how we're doing, and how am I feeling? What's my update? And, you know, we had a long conversation this past week just saying, hey, you know, what we're doing right now, it's not really getting me over the top to get fit. It's just kind of at a standpoint right now. So I'd like to go out and get a second opinion. And you know, he's all for it. He just wants me to get back on the field and get back fit so I can play. So he's all for that. So, you know, hopefully I'll get some answers in the next week or so. And you know, then I'll head back to England, and hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, I'll be back fit within the next month and be ready to go playing, and then get back in the groove, and then be ready for the big qualifiers in March.
Jeff Cameron joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Stoke City U.S. National Team. For those of you listening in here in Houston, which is many, we all know Jeff's rise here with the Houston Dynamo and how quickly he came a storm and into Major League Soccer and identified himself very, very quickly. All right, so you know as well as I do here in the U.S., there's always this talk of promotion and relegation and playoffs versus that, and people talk about this on a daily basis. Now, I look at Stoke, and here you guys are in the middle of the table again. You've played 20 matches. You're on 24 points. Realistically, it's going to be very difficult to break in to a European place, but I'm sure that's probably the goal for you guys. And you correct me if I'm wrong here, though, Jeff. But how is it being that team that's sort of solidified in the middle every year? You're not too worried about being relegated, yet it's still tough to crack, you know, the giants of the Premier League, the Chelseas, the Liverpools, the Cities, the Arsenals, the Uniteds, etc.
No, I think, I mean, last year, the last 3 years, we finished ninth, and we've, you know, last season we kind of tapered off, I think, you know, with the Euros and Copa America. I think, you know, guys kind of took their foot off the brake a little bit towards the end of the season. And I think a lot of clubs, a lot of players did that as well because they didn't want to get injured, whether for the Euros and all that. So that was tough. I mean, we could have, we realistically, you look back and we could have finished seventh last year easily. Mm-hmm. But we dropped points and we dropped opportunities, games that we should have won, we didn't win. And we kind of go through stages. It's almost like five or six stages. And I really like this about Mark Hughes. And, you know, we break the season down. And, you know, for the first, you know, five or six games, he'll say, okay, how many points do you want to get from this stage? And then from stage two to stage three to four and five, and he breaks it down throughout the season. And, you know, he'll tally up the points at the end of the season. He's like, you know, if we get to 54 points, usually this brings us into the top 10 and around the 8th, 7th, and 6th spot. So you know, and like right now, the first month we were behind, and then we picked it up in the second stage, and we're on par. And then now, you know, it's kind of in the Christmas period, your ups and downs, and we've had some tough teams as of recent, but now it's time to start picking up points again. So it's kind of like you have your ups and downs throughout the season. And, you know, when you go to Chelsea away or Arsenal, and you're not really expected to win, but you're expected to win your home games. And that's the big thing. So, you know, if you go away on the road and you get, you know, three points against West Ham or a point like we did this year, that's a big result, because that's helping us keep the teams around us below us. And it helps us, you know, stay in the higher part of the table. So, you know, you have the Midlands, you have, you know, Everton, they're in around the sixth or seventh spot, Southampton, you know, you have teams that are around very similar to us that are all trying to stay in the top 10, because that's obviously a bigger bonus and a better chance to get in the Euros, and I mean, the Europa League.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been our goal, is to get up there and finish as high as we can. And, you know, like I said, if we get 3 points next weekend after we play Wolves for the FA Cup, we can move into 10th place. So, I mean, one win jumps you up the table. And, you know, one loss puts you down to the lower half, and it's a slippery slope. So that's the most, for me, it's the best part of the Premier League, because it's so competitive, and, you know, every point, every game matters.
I guess what I was trying to say, can it sometimes, without you maybe even knowing, can you get comfortable being in that 10th and 11th area, or is there an additional financial bonus for you if you end up in the top 10? Is there anything
that? No, that's a big thing. So we know as players, if you finish in the top 10 throughout the Premier League in general,
mm-hmm.
the club gets a higher bonus and the players get more bonus.
Okay.
So for us to finish in the top 10, if we finish outside the top 10, we don't get bonuses. So it's in everybody's interest to work their socks off and to do as best they can, because they want to stay in the top 10. And the club gets more money, the players get more money, so it's a win for everybody. But it's, I mean, if you're set and you know you're safe in the top 10, every place you finish higher, you get more bonus. So it's, for me, it's more of it's an incentive. So you want to do well. And if you get into Europa League, that's more games, more exposure, better, you know, you could say a bigger challenge. And that brings in more bonus, and then you have Champions League and all that. It definitely, you can never be complacent, and, you know, there's always teams creeping up behind you, and they always make it difficult. That's why, you know, Man City losing to a lower league team or lower half team, it's like a big, big deal. Or when they play against a Liverpool or Chelsea, they have to win those games, because those are the teams that they're fighting for to win the league or to stay in the Champions League, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great information you're giving, Jeff. Jeff Cameron, Stoke City, U.S. Men's National Team, has done so well there, played in the World Cup. You know it, the story here if you're from Houston. Jeff, take me into, you know, you were on the outside injured when the U.S. had these very difficult games to start the Hex in World Cup qualifying. You know, obviously it led to the dismissal of Jurgen Klinsmann. A couple of words on Jurgen first. How about that?
Yeah, for me, I thought he was a great coach. I mean, he's an unbelievable motivator. You know, people say what they want. At the end of the day, you know, tactically, and, you know, the media will say certain things, and, you know, was he good for the players, this and that. For me, he's always great. You know, and I had ups and downs. He didn't play me sometimes, and I'd get frustrated. But overall, you know, I thought he brought the U.S. Soccer to a different level. And he raised the awareness of soccer in the U.S. And, you know, we played some big teams, and we got some pretty big results, you know, getting out of the group of death in the World Cup and not being satisfied there, doing really, really well in the Copa America, beating top 10 teams, and constantly challenging ourselves individually at our club, wanting us to challenge ourselves throughout our career. And, you know, for me, he was great, because he helped me. He encouraged me to get over here abroad and challenge myself. And, you know, it's hard because people don't really know the ins and outs of what happens on a regular basis. You know, as a national team coach, especially a U.S. national team coach, you have guys that are playing all different leagues, all different types of times of the year. So guys come into camp, and you only have a couple of days to get ready for a qualifier. And, you know, guys flying in from Germany, I fly in from England. You know, you're flying 10, 11 hours in, and you have 3 days to prepare for a game, and then, you know, you're playing in Honduras or Costa Rica or Mexico, and you got to adjust, and then boom, you're playing. So a lot of that stuff comes into place and making sure guys are comfortable, fit. If this guy's good at playing in this type of weather, this heat, is this more a physical game or more of a technical game? Jurgen's staff and Jurgen in general, he's a perfectionist. He goes over that stuff over and over and over again. And I think, you know, watching the guys in the last two qualifiers, it was just disappointing because it seemed like they lacked the heart, they lacked the effort, and you know, watching the games was really, really tough for me because they're just sitting there and, you know, kind of helplessly and just knowing that I could have provided energy that seemed like that we were missing. And, you know, we didn't have that tenacity that we've always seemed to have. And I think and that's the one thing that Jurgen always encourages us to do. We have to go out there, be nasty, be rough, show our aggression. And we didn't do that. And, it might be maybe the guys kind of turned off from him. Maybe he lost the locker room. I wasn't there, so I can't really say. But for me, he was a great coach. I learned a lot under playing for him. And, you know, I can't say a bad thing about him.
And that was part one of the Jeff Cameron interview coming from England here. Now a moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878, 713-322-HURT. Whether your car accident is car, boat, motorcycle, it doesn't matter. Industrial construction, you drive an 18-wheeler. You need a lawyer sometimes, and the Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you that they will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Contact John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. And the Gorgeous Gale. If you want an Irish pub with that Irish feel, the Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Get over and say hello to my friend Peter. Soccer fans are heading over there all the time at 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best soccer and football matches there and stop by for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings are excellent there. Again, say hello to Peter. It's an open field, lots of monitors, outdoor patio. The Gorgeous Gale is the place to be. TheGorgeousGale.com. It is the home of the Liverpool supporters group here in Houston. Let's take a break.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Grew up in a nice neighborhood, but it didn't do her no good.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
This has been a great jam-packed show here tonight, and we thank you as always for listening, and we thank all our sponsors. Right now, a moment here for Bud Light. I just want to remind you, Bud Light has always been behind the sport of soccer, a.k.a. football, for all of you listeners here in Houston for a long, long time. They've supported this show, Soccer Matters, that I've had on various networks and now at our beautiful home here on ESPN 97.5. So get out, get a smooth, clear, crisp Bud Light. Bud Light are longtime sponsors of not only Soccer Matters, but your sport, the global sport. It's American-grown and imported, and for the latest concerts, festivals, and happenings in Houston, get over to Facebook and like Bud Light or follow Bud Light Houston. Bud Light, raise one right now. And I want you fans to check out this. It's the King's Court, 903 Hutchins and Edo. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins, 13 TVs. Kings Court is a wonderful open airy place for watching games. Whether it's the Premier League, whether it's the Italian League, the Spanish League, Major League Soccer, NFL Sunday Ticket, it doesn't matter. 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, including Bud Light. Indian British cuisine. They got great Indian food down there. Skewers, chicken skewers and lamb skewers with some great curries as well. Chicken tikka masala, fantastic food. They've got a rooftop patio. Say hello to Jay down there. It's a real soccer pub feel. It is the Kings Court, 903 Hutchins and Edo. Let's support the local businesses down there and the ones that are putting money into the game of soccer and supporting it on the radio, like the Kings Court. So when you decide where you're going to go down there, keep that in mind, that they're putting money into the sponsorship of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we thank the Kings Court for that. All right, it is now time for part two with Jeff Cameron of Stoke City and the U.S. men's national team. Do you think the team, because of maybe the tactical switch against Mexico, that might have had something to do with it, or could have been something that was underlying prior to that?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure. It's one of those things. I mean, we tried to put more guys in the middle. To help with guys with their legs and, defensively to crowd the middle because, you know, he knew Mexico was really, really strong down the middle. So as the other teams, you want to make sure that you kind of counteract that. And I think we tried to do that, but, I think individually performances weren't great. The team didn't play well. So can you scrap it down to just one individual? No, it was a team effort. And I don't think the guys really performed, and they know that. And that's why we know that we have two big games coming up in March. And, you know, it's sad, obviously, that to see Jurgen get fired. But that's football, you know, like, and that's soccer, and it's cruel. But, you know, obviously, like I said, I can't say a bad thing about Jurgen. And he's the one that gave me the opportunity to play and represent the U.S. national team. And, like everybody, every player has its ups and downs with a coach, but for the most part, he taught me a lot how to be a true professional on and off the field, push me into my game to the next level and to stay there, to try and be consistent as a player. Just a lot of things, you know, and he brought his staff, Birdie, Andy Herzog. They're all really, really good coaches. And I'm just excited to join up with Bruce Arena. I played against Bruce a long time with the Dynamo and LA Galaxy, and I'm excited to play for another coach because it's something new and something another opportunity where I can learn and hopefully help my game.
Now, without a doubt, Jeff, there are guys in the U.S. locker room and or guys on the outside looking in going, hey, you know, I'm glad there's a coaching change now. It might change. You know, my position in the pecking order, it might change the way a new set of eyes looks at me. That's all part and parcel of it, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, some guys that find themselves on the out can find themselves having an opportunity to show themselves, you know. And I'm sure the January camp coming up is an opportunity for some players to get their foot in the door or to show their skill set. And you know what? At the end of the day, it might be the same thing. Bruce might find the same thing that Jurgen found. And some guys that, you know, that said they deserved a shot. And, you know, when they had a shot before, Jurgen didn't rate them. And then, you know, Bruce might say the exact same thing. But that's why every coach has his own style, has his own kind of way of and certain individuals that they like or the certain individual that brings something to the table. Might be good for one coach, but might not be for another. So, and Jurgen's really good, big on personality and what you bring to the group outside of the team. And I'm sure Bruce is the same way. I think we need to get back to guys, everybody working with one another and fighting for one another and getting back to square one and just grinding out results. And the games won't always be pretty. I know that. Been there through before where, you know, you've been in a tough situation and playing alongside Carlos Bocanegra. And I remember him saying, listen, you don't always have to win pretty. You win you got to win ugly sometimes. And if that's packing, you know, 11 guys in the box and you're going down to Honduras and you got to deal with the heat, the pressure, the, you know, the field, you got to do what you got to do to win. And that's something we got to get back to.
Jeff Cameron joining us, Stoke City U.S. Men's National Soccer Team has just had an outstanding career, still fighting his way back from some slight knee problem here that's kept him out for, I guess, what you say, 10 weeks, Jeff, right? 8 to 10 weeks?
Yeah,
now?
10 weeks and counting, my man.
Yeah, well, we're gonna shorten that up.
Let
me go back to Jurgen. Do you think it might have taken, and it's easy for guys like me on the outside, and I mean that sincerely, and I recognize that every time I step behind a microphone that it's really easy from these positions out here. But do you think it took Jurgen a little bit too long to figure out that center back was the place for you? I mean, personally, we can't tell him what to do. But I'm saying personally, because for me, it took a little long.
Yeah, the funny thing is he's always told me I'm a center back. I'm a center back, and he rated me as a center back, or I could play number six.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, is certain games and certain teams that we played, you know, maybe he wasn't comfortable playing another guy at right back.
Correct.
Or in another position because, you know, I remember I was training at center half against Trinidad before Trinidad game, and I don't know, maybe DeAndre wasn't playing really well or training really well, and he pulled me aside. He's like, "Hey, I'm gonna play you right back tomorrow because their right mid is pretty clever. He's quick. He's fast. And I just want you to sit there defensively and do your thing." And you know, was I frustrated? 100%, because I knew, and this is after the Copa, and I knew he knew that I was in fine form and I was playing center half for Stoke and I was playing the number six for Stoke, and but I think it just shows that he had faith in me and my ability to be able to slide over and play a right back role, and putting someone else in at the center half position, and still keeping the team as strong as he possibly can, and it's been like that my whole career. You know, you've seen it when I was in Houston, where mm-hmm. you know, Dom, like, "Hey, do you want to go play up top?" My first appearance for Houston Dynamo, I played forward, a withdrawn forward in Hawaii. And then, you know, I played outside mid, then I played center mid, and then I remember Eddie Robinson went down, and he had to have surgery. Pat Ioane was away with the Olympic team, and they asked me if I could play center half. And I played center half, and I played the whole Super League club tournament or whatever. And that's how I started my center half career. So, kind of gone from there. And throughout my career, I've always played a number of positions. You know, my first year at Stoke, I played left back, I played right back, I played a right wing back, I played the number six role, I played a withdrawn forward. You know, I played pretty much everywhere. And now for Mark Hughes, I go from number six to center half to right back, and I'm comfortable. I think it just shows that I have the ability to play a number of positions.
I think it's fantastic.
I've always said my center half and defensive midfield are my best positions.
I think it's fantastic because it's not something many people can do. And I mean, do it and seamlessly fit into playing differing roles and differing positions. I mean, there's many a center back that there's no chance he can go out and play wide, right? I mean, that would have been my category. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it like this. And my dad's always kind of, he's my biggest critic and my biggest fan. And, you know, and there's times where I get really frustrated and, you know, I'll be training all week and with Stoke and Mark Hughes will pull me the day before and he'll, you know, we'll do kind of like a walkthrough and shape and I'll be at right back. And, you know, the last three games I've been playing center half and I'll get frustrated that day and get upset because I've been, you know, the more games I play in a consecutive position, the better I get and the more comfortable the confidence flows and all that kind of stuff. You start to get in a groove and that's what you kind of want. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I go to right back and, you know, I'm like, why am I out here? And I look at it and I'm playing right back. I'm playing. I want to be on the field. So I'm happy in that aspect. And, you know, my dad always reminds me how many players can do that in the Premier League? How many coaches do they think, like, it's a luxury for a coach to be able to have a player and you slide over in a position where he knows that you know, he has faith in you. You can get the job done and then put someone else in the position that you're at.
I think he's absolutely right.
It's kind of a blessing and a curse, right?
It's a little bit of a...
Exactly.
Because I sit here going, wow, if Jeff Cameron played at Stoke as a center back regularly and with the U.S. national team, boy, I mean, that could do something significant for his career. Then on the other hand, what a luxury you are.
I always think about that kind of stuff. But like I said, throughout my whole career, look at where it's gotten me. And, you know, I'm playing in the best league in the world, the most competitive league, and playing against the best players. You know, I'm happy where I'm at. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey, and I want it to continue. And, it's been great so far.
Jeff, how do you see your career? You know, how much longer do you want to stay at Stoke? Do you ever want to test the waters in a different league? Do you want to come back to MLS? Do you look that far out? I know that's a kind of a tough question to ask you right now when you've been on the shelf for 8 to 10 weeks. But
I have this season and the next season is my last year, and you know, Stoke are interested in trying to re-sign me now, and we're in talks. And you know, I've had offers before in other transfer windows to go to Italy and Spain and Germany. But it's funny because a lot of those teams and a lot of those players want to come play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes the weather's a little bit nicer in Spain. I think it would be cool to play in Italy, to get a whole different type of scenery and
culture
and challenge. But you know, I don't think there's a bigger challenge than playing in the Premier League every single weekend. And then there's the MLS, and obviously there's new teams coming in, and depending, you know, what would be out there. And you know, I want to stay over here as long as possible. You know, if the contract's right and everything. And I know the 2018 World Cup's right around the corner, so I'd like to stay over here as long as I possibly can. And then maybe it's I play out my contract and then see what else is out there, and we'll see what's back in the States. But eventually I'd like to come back to the MLS and end my career in the States and go from there.
Jeff, how do you stay grounded? I mean, look, you earn an incredible living. You're playing in this amazing league.
You know me, Glenn.
I know. That's what I want the people to hear. I want, you know, I see, you know, the cars, the watches, the social life. It's all there. But you have to stay grounded in order to survive and remain there and not be a 2 or 3 year, you know, flash hit wonder, right? And you've obviously got the discipline.
You surround yourself with good people and good friends. You know, when you get out of hand a little bit, your friends are, if you're there, your true friends, they'll put you in your place. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you always remember where you came from. And my mom and my dad raised me pretty well. And I think I'm the same old Jeff that grew up in Massachusetts. And I might have a nice car and this and that, but it doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, I'm still that kid that, misses home and misses his home cooked food from his mom and dad.
Uh-huh.
And, still the same old kid. So,
well, you know, every time I call you and you've worked, and I would say you've made it not a huge priority, but you made it a priority to remain friends with me. Because obviously I met you when you first started in the league. And every time I call you, I think of the time we sat on the hood of a car in Bel Air after working with some little kids. And that's when you decided to help us with all the cancer stuff. And
yep.
I go back to that time. And at that time, I remember just going, you know, what a well-rounded young man this is. His parents must be something special. And, you know, now here I am talking to you years later, and you know, you're playing in arguably the greatest league in the world. You're successful. You're still grounded, and you're still the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think my father still listens to you on a regular basis.
Nice.
I mean, hey, listen, it's been a journey, and that's the one thing I try to. People come into your life, and they come in for a reason, and you know, you're a great guy, and for what you do on a regular basis, and with the kids outside of soccer, and the fact that you how much passion you have for the game, and just in general, you know, what you bring to the table is amazing. And I've always said that, and it goes unnoticed. And I know, just speaking from not speaking from me, but speaking from other guys like Brian Ching, Stuart Holden, Mike Jabala, the guys that I have the fondest memories of, you know, playing with Houston. And we always remembered, we always took time to do stuff for you because we knew how important it was and how important it was in the community and what you did for Kick for Cancer on a regular basis. And I know it's still going on. It's truly amazing, and it just shows you how special of a human you are.
Well, that's nice. That was really kind of going back towards you, but that is nice. And the guys you mentioned are tremendous guys like you. And I hope you're going to stop back into Houston real soon, Jeff, because we would love to have you back in town for a little while.
Well, I know. Chewy's been trying to get me. Mike Jabal's been trying to get me down there because he's got this Fear Fit thing going on.
Yeah,
so he's asked me to come down there and run one of his classes. So. Yeah, I'll have to take him up on that,
for sure. He's definitely doing good work with the Spear Fitness. Let's give Mike a little bit of a plug here. Listen, before I let you go, you know, with the Bruce Arena coaching change, the new camp that's been put together here in January, obviously there's some new faces, which is interesting. Just give me a little bit of a lookout. Obviously, you're getting healthy here and getting back into the national team picture, I think, is a very big piece of qualifying for the next World Cup. But any other thoughts on Bruce, the national team, in the short term here? Because we all know how important it is in so many ways for the sport to continue to platform forward, from sponsorship. I mean, you think, you know, you sit here and you go, wow, if the U.S. doesn't qualify for the World Cup, you just talk about sponsorship money alone. There are going to be people jumping off ledges if we don't. So, you know, just kind of looking out at Bruce Arena, the national team picture for you right now.
Yeah, obviously I'm headed to LA this weekend to go get a second opinion for the knee, to go see the national team doctors and stuff. And Bruce Arena called me and he's been checking up on me and you know, seeing how I am, and invited me into camp and to go to hang out with the guys and be around the players, and you know, to work with the physios, to work with the rehab specialists, and to see the doctors and stuff. So he's kind of opened me up and into the team, and you know, says I'm a big part of the obviously the upcoming games, and he wants to help me get me fit in any way. And he seems like a great guy. I'm obviously excited to play for him and to get adjusted and all that. But I think the guys coming in, I think there's a good solid group of guys that are going into the January camp that have played under him before or played with Jurgen. And then there's some younger guys, some newer guys with some fresh blood that he's providing an opportunity. And I think over these games, this camp is a way for him to test the water and to see what else is out there and kind of go from there. I mean, this is January camp is all for that, to kind of build his kind of, I would say, his mind and his thoughts, and kind of get everything together preparing for March.
Jeff, as always, listen, so great to talk to you. Get healthy real quick. We miss seeing you on the field for both Stoke and the United States national team. And thank you again for staying up late to take this phone call from me, and more importantly, to be able to communicate to everybody who's been following your career. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's Jeff Cameron. We wind it up in big style with him tonight here, and we can't wait to see him back on the field for both Stoke and the U.S., and the national team needs him as well as Stoke. That does it for tonight for my good friend Tyler Scott, running things here, producer Tyler Scott. That's what you got to call him. I thank him and all our great sponsors. Thank you for listening, and our guests tonight. And remember, soccer matters.